Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Did they give you any indication of what's coming next?
Well, we now know that this coming week, Jerry Nadler is going to start, you know, phase two of the circus. Now, Jerry Nadler has been in the witness protection program now for several months after he botched the Mueller probe.
Yeah, get ready for it. Round two, three coming up this week.
I've lost count.
It's easy to lose count. No kidding.
Goodness.
Wow. Hey, happy Monday to you. Back to work after the long holiday weekend for a lot of us. After a whole week off for Denise down here.
Yeah.
Sunning on the beach somewhere. You know what I'm saying?
Nice. It was beautiful.
I'll bet it was. We're all jealous. We all want to go now.
I know. I've been thinking about that swim up bar.
Me too now. I was just looking at your great pictures.
As you huddle under a blanket here in our freezing studio,
you're thinking of that
swim-up bar, we know. Hey, we're going to get to Tom Ackerman coming up a little later this hour. We'll talk some Blues action and some Mizzou football because they fired their coach. Mm-hmm. What's going on with that? Who's going to be next? Who's up next for the Mizzou Tigers? That's a good question. We're going to get to all that and more, but right now, Jesse Jane Duff.
I am hard, but I am fair.
Good morning, motivator.
From now on, you will speak only when spoken to.
Take the hill. We got a long week.
Jesse Jane Duff, happy Monday morning to you.
Good morning, motivator. You know, why can't we just fire the congressmen like they fire these football coaches? Yeah, you're not winning. You're out. Bye.
Yeah,
but
thank you.
We got to wait every 2 years while they saturate us with nonsense. They saturate us with shifts.
Oh, nice. Well done. Well done.
Don't bleep that out. That was shift. I want to make sure people know that. Don't bleep me. I got bleeped once on the radio. I kind of got in my marine mode. They're like, oh, the first time in 6 years we had to use the bleep button. And I was like, oh, shoot, I'm sorry. Anyway, but hey, you know, this is just amazing to sit back and see that they're still going to go forward with this. And many people are saying, why isn't if the president isn't saying it's fair, why isn't he presenting his own attorneys? Because we don't even know who their witnesses are. This has become such a ridiculous scandal on the Democrats' part to manipulate the process, to put Adam Schiff in a special prosecutor role, but yet he is supposed to be running these hearings. Essentially, let it get through the House, and then when we get to the Senate, we'll play by our rules. We'll play by the rules that are actually right for the American people. We actually are going to do it the way it's supposed to be done in the Senate. And guess what? Every last one of them is going to get exposed. And if Adam Schiff is not ready to testify about how he found out about this supposed whistleblower, what his engagement was, when he's not ready to do all that, maybe it's quite possible in the House they won't vote for it to go on over to the Senate because they'll stir the pot well enough to raise a stink, just like you do with a toilet, but they won't allow it to go all the way through because they know they'll get totally demolished on the Senate side.
Yeah. You know, we had John Decker on from Fox News Radio earlier. He is of the belief that they're going to vote on impeachment in the House. And you know, my thought is that, just like you just said, that's a big mistake because, you know, we had Roy Blunt on, the senator from Missouri, last week. And he said, you know, if we hold a Senate trial, every United States senator has to sit there quietly like a jury member while this goes on. And if it lasts for 4 weeks, well, that's 4 weeks that at least five senators I can think of won't be on the campaign trail for the Democrats.
Oh, yes. And they're also going to have to sit and listen to every single one of the witnesses come forward. They're going to call Hunter Biden, Joe Biden. They'll end up having, oh, and Lisa Page now is in a rampage on, she's written an article for the Daily Beast which tells you right away what side she's on if it's in
right.
the Daily Beast.
Right.
You know, right, really, Daily Beast says it all. They are a bunch of beasts that don't need to belong in our U.S. government. And she's upset because the president called her names. Meanwhile, she was undermining the duly elected president. And she is up. Actually, a New York Times story came out, and the headline says that there was no evidence of collusion the FBI did no wrong, basically. But when you read the article, the FBI article actually does admit to the wrongdoing by the FBI players. They just name them fancy names. They don't call them spies. They call them something else. No, the Trump campaign was spied on by the FBI. And we know this for a fact because the NSA director went and told President Trump that they were putting electronic surveillance on his campaign to move out of his headquarters out of Trump Tower. Many people don't know that. The NSA was unlawfully monitoring the campaign. The NSA director found out that the FBI was doing this, and it got pushed back over to the FBI. So that's how this whole FISA warrant happened. They created the phony dossier, took it to the FISA courts, got the FISA courts to either be misled or they were part of the debacle, who knows, and they ended up they were allowed to now electronically surveil members of the Trump campaign. And when you start surveilling one person, you're allowed to go two more to each person that's surveilled, which can lead you now to two more, which can then lead you to two more. Essentially, the entire campaign was under surveillance. Now, can you imagine that your calls are being surveilled when you have no knowledge of that? What country are we in? Venezuela, the old Soviet Union. I mean, this is Stalinistic, and our own FBI did it.
And why the article now? I mean, I wonder, is it because you know the Inspector General report, and maybe more importantly, the Attorney General report is about to come out, the U.S. Attorney?
Right. And I'm kind of like Mark Levin. I'm not sure how the Inspector General report will come out. He's an Obama appointee, but that does not mean he's going to be unfair. I think Horowitz has been known to be a very fair IG. However, we do have the other investigation that's been going on that was appointed by the Attorney General to ensure that we get to the bottom of this entire sham of the Mueller report. Like, how did it even escalate to be a Mueller report in the first place? And anybody who watched that testimony was stunned that we paid this man over $30 million and his team to come up with this. His testimony was stammering. His testimony was incoherent. He was incapable of showing or demonstrating any collusion with Russia. It was an embarrassment. And yet the American taxpayers got fleeced for that. This undermining of the president has gone on so many times since he was duly elected. Nobody believes them anymore.
No, they don't. And it becomes more obvious every single day in the coverage. Jesse Jane, I'm out of time, but as always, I appreciate the energy you bring to this program. Thank you.
Take the Hill Motivators. It's going to be a long week.
You bet. At Jesse Jane Duff on Twitter, Jesse Jane Duff. .com. Always great to get her thoughts here on the radio show.
Good morning. This news just breaking in the last half hour or so. The Metropolitan Police here now confirming that a man has been shot and killed on London Bridge. The circumstances surrounding it are unclear at the moment, but eyewitnesses say that there was a man being restrained by officers on that bridge. Shortly afterwards, gunshots were heard, and that man now confirmed to be dead.
Yeah, did you read that story at all? Did you read any of the details about what happened yesterday in Great Britain, on the London Bridge? This guy Usman Khan pulls a knife out and starts randomly stabbing people. Except it wasn't so random, because he was a convicted terrorist who was put in jail in 2011 or 2012, for terrorism offenses. But, you know, they have criminal justice reform because, of course, they're several years ahead of us in their progressivism in the United Kingdom. And they have criminal justice reform over there. And this guy was allowed early release from prison because he was reformed. Because it's not fair to lock up a crazy, radical Islamic terrorist for as long as he or she lives. So they have an early release program, and they let him out on a 5-year extended license, it was called, right? Because he was given 16 years in prison. He never should have been out of jail. He got out in, what, 8 years instead? 7 or 8 years?
Something like that, yeah.
And he was supposed to, he got out on the promise that he wouldn't go back into the city of London. But he hoodwinked authorities in the United Kingdom by getting a 1-day pass to attend a rehabilitation conference at Fishmongers Hall, which is close to the London Bridge there. And that's where he launched his horror rampage. One academic there said Khan just suddenly flipped. No, he didn't just suddenly flip. He flipped back in 2012. What more evidence did you need that this guy is a radical Islamic terrorist bent on creating terror? Why was he out of jail? Folks, this is what the criminal justice reformers want to bring to your country. This is it. If you get in a conversation with Kim Gardner, ask her why prosecutions are down in her office and who they're prosecuting these days, because the police don't know who they're prosecuting these days. It all seems very random because, you know, we can rehabilitate people and we shouldn't send them to prison for a long time. And we shouldn't use that old workhouse down there because that's just awful. I had a conversation with a cousin over the holiday weekend. She works as a jail attendant in a prison in Ohio, a county jail system in Ohio. You know what the prisoners there got on Thanksgiving Day? A warm meal.
Mm-hmm.
You know what they normally get? Cold cut sandwiches. That's they don't cater to their prisoners because they don't want to make it an enjoyable experience when they're there. They got a hot meal on Thanksgiving, but generally speaking, they get a bologna sandwich. That's what they get to eat because you shouldn't want to look forward to being there. It should be a deterrent to what you're doing. One reason I bring this up is I want you to think back to the direction we were going under the previous administration. And let me take you back to this story from October 30th by the Associated Press. Those five radical Islamic terrorists who were released from Guantanamo Bay in exchange for Mr. Bergdahl, Sergeant Bo Bergdahl, who, of course, went AWOL and ended up getting people killed out looking for him. Remember that? They're now working with the Taliban, spreading more radical Islamic terror. Why would you ever believe that somebody who gets labeled a terrorist is ever going to shed that desire to create terror? Why do the British believe that? Why did Barack Obama want to shut down Guantanamo Bay, which is the most ideal location in the world, on the butt end of an island of Cuba, where you can take bad people and keep them away from society? These folks are insane. Here's the story from Kabul, Afghanistan. Five members, and there were more than that, but five members of the Afghan Taliban who were freed from the U.S. military prison in Guantanamo Bay have joined the insurgent group's political office in Qatar. And there's a concern that the insurgent group's founder and hardline leader, Mullah Mohammed Omar, was bringing them in to revitalize his organization. They're bringing back their old generation, which means the Taliban have not changed their thinking or their leadership. And we found others who've been released back on the field of battle, firing bullets at American soldiers. How many times do we have to learn this painful lesson? This guy should never have been let out of jail. And these people that have been held in Guantanamo should never be let out of jail. Just another fine example of you know, what Barack Obama was up to. And if you know, if you put a Elizabeth Warren or a Bernie Sanders, heaven forbid, or someone like that in office, we're going to face all these problems over again. We never learn from these mistakes.
Absolute dominant performance from Dobbins and this offensive line.
J.K. Dobbins' mom, Maya, became pregnant when she was 18 years old. She went to the doctor because she was thinking about aborting the baby, but changed her mind. That baby turned out to be that young man, J.K. Dobbins, who she calls her miracle baby.
Wow, what a powerful statement there by a sports announcer during that Ohio State game. I wonder how long he'll have a job, or if he gets rebuked for pointing that out. What a great story. Mm-hmm. And that kid ran for almost, Tom Ackerman's in studio, and we'll check it with him here, but I think he ran for like 200 yards in that game against Michigan.
J.K. Dobbins is a bad man.
He is.
He is my favorite college football player. I love watching him play. He's like a bowling ball with knives. Like you can, like Damn. You just can't. He is a real pain. I bet you everybody who sees him coming their way wishes they didn't have to tackle him. He is that punishing. He is awesome to watch. He's the Ohio State running back, and that was Gus Johnson with the call on
made the
Fox.
Call. Yeah.
Yes.
I thought it was bold. To bring that up in a, as debated a topic as that is these days, mm-hmm. To bring it up in that light was pretty bold on his part. I'm really surprised he didn't get any pushback on that.
Well, to me, listening to it, the way that you just played it, without any sort of commentary, it was a factual statement.
Yeah,
it was
true.
A story.
Yeah.
It happened. So that I thought was I think you put it very well. I think it was powerful.
It was powerful.
It was powerful, and J.K. Dobbins is a very special talent who is getting overshadowed and will not win the Heisman Trophy because Joe Burrow of LSU has had an awesome year and probably deserves it. But J.K. Dobbins is my favorite player. I just love watching him play. And this is from an Indiana fan. He killed us.
Dude is like going to break. He's going to be number two in rushing for Ohio State behind only Archie Griffin. Who was a running back for them back in the 70s, I think. And Archie, that's back when it was, you know, 3 yards in a pile of dust kind of thing under Woody Hayes. All they did was run the ball. So this kid is still like 2,000 yards behind Archie Griffin, but he'll be second on the all-time rushing list for Ohio State when he graduates.
He's a great talent.
Yeah,
that Ohio State team, to me, is the best team in the country. And we had Benjamin Hockman on the show yesterday, and he and I disagreed. He thinks LSU is. I think LSU has been awesome. And LSU wanted Alabama, but, you know, Auburn just beat Alabama. Alabama's not the Alabama that we've seen the last couple of years. They have some holes. They are not as dominant, not even close defensively as they used to be. Ohio State went up to Michigan and just embarrassed.
Cleaning their clock.
And they've done that to everybody, and I think they're going to be tough to handle. There's still one more game left for them. They got to have to play Wisconsin in the Big Ten Championship, and then we'll see what happens. But to me, Ohio State is the most complete team in the country, and I think they're going to be very, very difficult to deal with. By the way, to answer your question, J.K. Dobbins, 31 carries, 211 yards, and was just a phenomenal talent in that game against Michigan. Four touchdowns.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. So on the subject of college football.
Yes.
I was pretty proud of what Barry Odom's done with that Mizzou program. He had big shoes to fill, I think, taking it over, but it clearly wasn't good enough. I think the five-game losing streak at the end of the season clearly did him in, and the athletic director made a pretty bold move, pretty bold statement when he let him go, didn't he?
Yes, this is a business.
Yeah.
The SEC is big business, and you have to win in the SEC, and Barry Odom's a great guy. I give him a ton of credit to, again, build that momentum back as best he could. The players clearly liked him, although they had a funny way of showing it. Probably should, you know, play a little better on the field if you want to keep your coach. I like Barry Odom the person, and this is a move by Jim Sterk, though, to say, that it's just not good enough. We don't have enough people in the seats. The program's lacking some energy. You know, just look at the numbers, Mark. I mean, he was 3-24 against teams with winning records. That's just not good enough. I mean, and so Missouri's going to have to spend some money now on a new coach. And the word resources was used over and over by Sterk in his press conference, that we have the resources to be this and that. That means they have money. And so they're going to, even though they're taking a $10 million hit by not being in a bowl game this year because the NCAA wouldn't lift their sanctions, even though they have to pay Barry Odom $2.85 million to have him leave, even though they're going to have to pay a new coach and a new staff, most likely, a lot of money to be an upper echelon team or at least compete as an upper echelon team in the SEC, they have the money from what I'm hearing. So,
and they have to buy out Odom, is that correct?
Yeah, 2.85, which is not, I mean, it sounds like a lot of money, and it is, but relatively speaking, it's not a hefty buyout compared to some other coaches around the country. Now, they will have some competition. Ole Miss just fired their coach yesterday, Matt Luke. So Ole Miss, Arkansas, and Florida State are all open, and there will be more. So those are three pretty attractive jobs, I would say, along with Missouri. So there will be some competition. I think there are some great names out there. It's hard to just pick one. But if I had to pick one that would be a really good hire, it would be Brian Harsin, who's the coach at Boise State. All that guy does is win. He does it and is very well thought of in the college football world. I think he'd be a good one. If you want to shake it up and make a big splash and get everyone's attention and make headlines and stir it up a little bit, you hire Lane Kiffin, who used to be at Tennessee and USC and then kind of revived his career as an offensive coordinator at Alabama. He is a big-time recruiter. Comes with a little bit of controversy.
Was he at Tennessee like a year and then he bailed on him or something?
He was at USC for like a minute, you know. But he's talented, man. He knows the game. He knows offense. He's got his program down there in Florida getting the job done. So I'm looking forward to seeing what happens. I don't think it'll be Kiffin. I think it will be somebody that has a great run of success and experience. Those are the two things I think that Jim Sterk's looking for: head coaching experience. I don't think they would hire a coordinator. I think it's somebody who can run a program. Think, you know, the Gary Pinkel hire 19 years ago. This is the first time that Missouri's fired a football coach, by the way, since 2000. Larry Smith was fired after the 2000 season. They hired Gary Pinkel.
Out of Toledo,
in
right?
11 days, out of Toledo. Not a lot of players were on board. I think there were like six players at the press conference. I was there. Gary went up to the parking spots outside the football facility, and the sign on the coach's parking spot said, "Football coach." Instead of a name, he's like, uh-oh, what have I gotten myself into? But he ended up being the right hire. He was a great coach and had a lot of experience. I think that's the type of hire, somebody that can really get this program back on its footing. And Barry Odom, I just hate to see somebody lose their dream job, but he'll be fine. And he's going to be, he's, you know, 43 years old. I mean, he's a young guy. He's got a lot ahead of him. He'll be a coordinator somewhere and eventually a head coach somewhere. I mean, and the second time around, he'll be better.
I tell you my favorite Pinkel story. Right after he got hired, I got sent down there with Channel 4 to cover one of their first practices for some, I don't know why they were short of people and sent me. And the photographer who went down there to shoot the story is a graduate of the University of Tennessee. If he's breathing, he's got something orange somewhere on his body. He wears Tennessee hats. Everything he's got has something to do with Tennessee. He had his Tennessee ball cap on. He's out there shooting their first practice. Pinkel called him over and said, "You need to take that hat off." He thought he was joking, and he said, "We're all about Mizzou football here, and I don't need representation from other teams here. I believe in what you do. I'm proud to have you here, but I'd appreciate it if you'd leave that hat in the truck." So he asked him to take the job. I mean, he was all about, he knew what he wanted. And I'm not saying Odom didn't, don't get me wrong. But from the very beginning, Pinkel had an idea in mind of how he was going to run his team. That's what you got to have.
That's what they need right now. They need a change. As much as I love Barry Odom, I wish he was still around. But now that he's not, What they need is a complete change. They need the fans on board, and the fans were very lukewarm on Odom, unfortunately. And you've got to get all the boosters, the fans, the alums on board. And I, another Pinkel story for me, I remember when Texas came in, and it was very early in Pinkel's regime, ranked number two in the country, and they looked so impressive. You know, they came out of the tunnel, they're wearing all whites with the white helmet, with the Longhorns on the helmet, and they came out, and Mizzou hung with them and hit them right in the mouth and played a tough game. I think lost by about 12 maybe points, somewhere in that range. And in his press conference, somebody asked Pinkel, you know, are you happy with the fact that you hung in there with the number two team in the country? And he looked at him dead in the eye. He said, we lost. We lost that game. And that's the problem around here.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, we need a culture. He basically was putting his foot down and said, we're going to start a culture of winning around here. We're not going to accept. There is no accepting a loss, even though deep inside, of course, he's happy the way his team played. He's trying to send a message to everybody. We don't lose these games. We win these games at home. And they turned it around. And Missouri was the number one team in the country in 2007 for a period of time after they beat Kansas at Arrowhead Stadium. I remember a couple years later, 2010, Oklahoma came in to Faurot Field, ranked number one in the nation. Mizzou put it on them. And, you know, those are the kind of feelings you want back. I'm not asking Missouri to be in Alabama. It's just not
it's
there.
It's tough.
It's hard to be the best team in the country. What's a reasonable expectation for Mizzou would be like an Iowa, a Wisconsin even, where you are the team in the state. The state is behind you, and you are a consistent 8-9 game winner every year. That's what Missouri needs. They've got to get back to that somehow.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think they can. We'll see. I suspect they'll fill that pretty quickly if they can, right?
I would anticipate that's going to happen. Kind of like what I said, Alden hiring Pinkel in 11 days. I think Jim Stirk has somebody in mind, has a couple of people in mind. He has hired a search firm, but that's standard operating procedure for a coaching search. They do the background checks. They keep it out of the media. They're the third party. They'll contact somebody so Mizzou doesn't get in trouble for reaching out to another coach.
Right.
Like, hey, if Missouri would be interested,
would you want to talk?
You know, that kind of thing. But it'll get wrapped up, I would say, pretty quickly. I think you'll have your answer here within the next couple weeks.
Good stuff. Tom Ackerman, thanks, my friend.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. We'll take a quick break. 314-241-9797. What's that, Denise?
Go Blues.
Go Blues. We didn't even mention, we didn't talk
exactly.
Hockey.
Exactly. I'm like waiting through the
football.
Well,
we got into the Mizzou conversation. But yes, the Blues have won three in a row, and they look great, Denise.
Yes, they do.
They look great. They're the best team in the West. They
thanks
play
for
the Blackhawks tonight.
Thanks for bringing me back around, Denise. Sorry about
You're
that.
Welcome.
We'll be right
anytime.
Back.
Always remember, if you ain't first, you're last.
That's the new head coach for Missouri football. Just telling you. That's that attitude we were talking
about
with Ackerman. It's good. Hey, do we have the can we put the video up of my friend Holly singing the national anthem? Well, we got video from we'll see if we can get that posted to Facebook so that you can see it this morning. Just a friend of my daughter's who got to sing Saturday night. Did a great job, by the way. And
she
we played it earlier, and you can pick it up on the podcast. And we'll get it up on the website for you so you can hear it. She sent in a tape. And it was so good, they didn't even make her try out. They just brought her in. Sweet little girl, Holly Connor. Great job this weekend, and always good to see her. Hey, if you're paying attention to the news cycle, the big story today is going to be this report that Adam Shifty Schiff is going to release on his impeachment facade that happened over the last couple of weeks. He made staff, you know Shifty Schiff didn't do it. He made his staff work on it over the Thanksgiving holiday. So they're going to issue their report with all of their, you know, testimony that they want you to hear and none of the testimony that they don't. That'll be voted on tomorrow. And the vote will be, do we send this to the Judiciary Committee? So we don't even know yet for sure, right, wink, wink, that they're going to send this to the Judiciary Committee. But lo and behold, Jerry Nadler's already scheduled hearings for Wednesday, the day after the vote that we don't know the outcome of yet, to have hearings on the impeachment proceedings. Interesting, isn't it? Isn't that how that all works? Mm. Somebody must have a crystal ball. They must already know how that vote's going to turn out Tuesday.
I think the assumption is clear.
Hmm. Yeah.
So that's going to happen. And, the White House is like, well, listen, it's odd that you scheduled this when the president's out of town. He's leaving for London today to go to some NATO to celebrate the 70th anniversary of NATO. So he's going to be over in London, probably shaking those countries down for some more money for NATO, which he's really good at. And he'll be out of the country. So I guess they expected him to send an attorney to Jerry Nadler's very biased proceeding on Wednesday. And the White House said, nah, we're going to sit this one out. Because the American public sees through what you're doing. And I think that's very true. So that's not going to end well for them. Hey, we should get back to our favorite soundbite of the day, don't you think?
Yes, please. Can't be creeped out enough.
You can't be creeped out about this enough. I'll set this up. And we're not quite clear on why this is just coming to light, because it happened back during the
Corn Pop was a bad dude
speech. But that's the soundbite that got all the attention at the time, that he almost got in a gang fight with some dude named Corn Pop. This is what he said later in the same speech. Very weird.
And by the way, I sit on the stand. And it get hot. I got hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun. And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight, and then watch the hair come back up again. They'd look at it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap. And I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
Democrats, call 1-800-HELP if you're depressed after hearing that. That's your man. That's your leader for President of the United States, just so you know. Yeah, that's it. Hey, stick around. I'm sure Kilmeade will have more on the goings-on in Washington today.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.